Radio Universidad de Los Lagos presenta su programa en inglés. Oh, yeah. Let's Go. Un espacio dedicado a difundir la práctica de esta lengua extranjera en nuestra comunidad universitaria. Acompáñenos y sepan cómo el conocimiento del inglés puede ayudarnos a tener más y mejores oportunidades en nuestras vidas. Conduce el profesor Luis Ruiz Pailalet.
Okay, good morning everyone. We are back here with your program Let's Go. As you know, our mission here is to spread the knowledge of English in the university. And with me today, we have Mr. Carlos Martinez. He is also a professor at the university. And I will let him introduce himself so that he can let us know what he does, where he comes from. And then we will make him some other questions. Morning, Carlos. How are you?
Good morning, Luis.
Please do tell us what you do at the university.
I came to Osorno in 2011. Mm-hmm. I'm living here about 7.5 years. Uh-huh. And I came to the exact science department, which is sort of math sciences and math education, mm-hmm, and computation discipline.
Numbers. Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. Just numbers.
Spooky.
And I originally am from Santiago.
Me too.
About mid-40s years old. Uh-huh. And so I learned and I became aware of English in about 15 years ago.
Only 15 years ago?
So, well, I mean, already, I could say, yeah, a little bit more.
Yeah.
I had the chance to apply for a grad program, mm-hmm, program in the USA.
And when was that?
That was in about the 2000.
Okay.
1999.
In 1999,
yeah.
At the turn of the century.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The change of millennia.
Okay.
So for me it was a real challenge because I didn't speak much English and I have a little grammar.
By that
and
time.
Vocabulary at the time.
Yeah, yeah. By that time, you had received English lessons at the primary and secondary school?
Yep.
Okay.
So the only formal education was what I had in the high school years, and getting closer when I was about to leave Chile, mm-hmm, I had sort of a crash course on intensive course on in English.
This is important. Did you go to a bilingual school, or you just to a
public
school, right?
School.
Uh-huh.
It was one of those usually called emblematic high school.
Yes. Which one?
Liceo Lastarria.
Lastarria, that's in Providencia,
that's
isn't it?
That's in Providencia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was it is one of the notable public,
yes,
schools,
certainly,
in Santiago.
Together with the Instituto Nacional,
exactly,
and the other one on Cumming Street. Don't remember the name.
Liceo de Aplicación.
That one. Okay. So
and many more.
Same as me, you receive public education.
Exactly.
Then I started to learn English when I was in the seventh grade of basic school. When did you start English? Do you remember?
I think it was med school.
Yeah,
middle school.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
That means sixth and seventh grade.
Right.
More or less.
So you were
about... I wasn't good at it. So,
no.
So I think what happened in my first year in the States, actually, that's when I realized how little...
You knew.
Knew about speaking English, but worsely, I could say, writing and communicating, speaking, yes, yes. speaking you, basic you, 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 basic lines of English.
You do have to. You don't have to worry. You just have to communicate. Yeah. See, yeah. because mistakes will be made,
exactly.
but nothing will happen. I mean, mm-hmm. you will correct them. Now, when you finished high school and you went into university, what major did you follow?
Mathematics. Mm-hmm. I graduated from a math degree, mm-hmm. and then I follow up with the a master's degree in mathematics.
Which university did you attend?
Universidad Católica de Chile.
Okay, the Pontificia Universidad.
Pontificia.
Católica. Yes, yes.
Claro.
Oh, that's a really top university, not only in Chile, by the way.
Yep.
Probably
it's a brilliant, good school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It must be ranked amongst the first 300 universities in the world now.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good private university.
Yes, certainly. Okay, so you said that after graduation, you got a scholarship to go and study in the United States.
Yep.
Okay. Where did you go in the States?
Well, I had the chance to go to Wesleyan University, mm-hmm. which is a small college, town.
They call it college.
College. Yeah, it is a university because it has a graduate programs, mm-hmm. and it's not just undergraduate majors.
Sure.
So it's I think it's sort of like Ulagos in the sense of how many students it has.
And in what state of the United States?
Connecticut.
In Connecticut.
I
see. That's on the eastern coast?
Yeah, New England.
Oh, lovely.
It's nearby to Boston,
mm-hmm.
which is capital of Massachusetts.
Yes.
And New York City, which is capital. Well, no, it's not capital, actually. It's the biggest city of the New York State.
That's the area of the United States where people have like a different accent from the rest of the states.
Well, I think what I became aware of the Boston area, I think they're more like English accent.
British.
Than the rest of British.
Yes,
anyway.
Yes.
That's British, exactly. Yes. Than the rest of the states.
Mm-hmm.
And but it took me a while to
get used
to the different subtlety mm-hmm. from those American accents.
How long were you there?
There's it was sort of 8 years in different moments.
Mm-hmm.
I had the chance to work a little bit.
So you studied and worked?
Yep. I had some lecture positions in New York City,
mm-hmm.
a couple of college, mm-hmm. and States College, mm-hmm. private college, and I did.
Who were your students there?
Well, in one of them was more or less like Wesleyan students, which, mm-hmm. as perhaps you know that. They don't have specific programs to follow. They are more freely to take different subjects, and then focus in majors,
mm-hmm.
which means, for example, if in my case, I could take courses from different departments, different disciplines, and mm-hmm. and getting close to the end of the 4 year, I focus. Well, I concentrate in math, for example.
Yeah.
So the concept of college is quite interesting in the sense of freedom to students, to undergraduate students, to explore different subjects.
Yeah.
And then...
Would you like to have something like that in our university?
I think it's a quite interesting model,
mm-hmm.
because today we're trying to
change.
I think our current system is looking for skills and mm. sets of skills, mm-hmm. and many of them has to do with the interaction. I mean, and openness to diversity and so forth.
Okay.
So what I think in a college model, you have the chance to explore and many interest. So after 4 years, perhaps you made a choice for a discipline, a specific discipline.
Yes.
And what we have here is something which your decision, you have to make it on sort of early age.
You have to make a decision, take the
study program, and sometimes you feel trapped in the middle. so it's rigid system.
Yes,
so,
it is.
So for younger people, I think, and especially in this kind of age, we need to free up a little bit the choices of programs and so forth. So but I think we're going that way, I think. And especially,
hopefully. Yeah. We have to respond to the times.
Yep.
You see.
Yep.
Now, when you went to the States, did you go on your own? Did you go with someone else?
Well, I mean, it's always. In my case, I think I had the plan to go with my fiancé at that time, but it was in the middle of the process. Was difficult to keep up. Living there and managing the many things different.
So many aspects. Works.
Yeah, the many things were going on in especially in my first couple of years because.
What do you think was the most difficult thing to cope with in the States or living in another country in this case?
I think for someone like me, I mean, I have to say that I came from poor middle class neighbor in Santiago,
mm-hmm.
where the chances about 25 years they were quite different from now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have many difficulties to get a real sense about other countries, especially about the States. For me, it was a sort of a pleasant, challenging cultural shock.
Uh-huh.
What I mean is, being there, I started to realize how different is the States and Americans from
your previous usually, point of view.
Yeah, okay. How usually we see them,
and
we expect them to be. And mm-hmm. they're more diverse. They're more interesting in many ways than where we usually think.
So shall we say it was a pleasant surprise?
Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. For me, another thing which is I think today is a must do, especially when I think about my students. They have to take the chance to go for a program abroad.
Definitely, that's what we want them to do.
So for me, it's a living experience.
Mm-hmm.
It was a chance to meet people from different countries.
Do you remember where they came from?
Yeah, I can say. Always, usually try to tell the story to my students.
Mm-hmm.
People from India, from Germany, from Denmark, from China, from Italy, from Russia, and so on. So. It was complete diverse setting, and for me it was that's why I'm striking as an amazing experience.
Yes,
I mean coping obviously with my studies and so forth, but for me it was enrichment, it was an open in mind experience, and I think looking back, I think one of my best. Times experience so far.
Amazing. So now it's time for Carlos to give us a song that he likes. And I think that this song is somehow linked to the United States. So please let us know, Carlos, which song you would like to listen to.
Well, I think it's a well-known song. But what interests me about this song is the meaning of the song.
Mm-hmm.
There is a sort of contradiction while we think about this, the meaning of this song in Chile with what people in the States think about this song.
Okay. Let us know the name of the song, and later you tell us why.
Yeah, Born in the USA. Okay. Born in the USA.
By whom?
Bruce Springsteen.
That's it. So, with you, Born in the USA. Okay, we're back after listening to Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. Incidentally, I also love this song. Carlos, why did you choose it?
I think I was saying something about my choice already, but what I love this song, the reason why I love this song is because it taught me about American people, about what is living in America, what the what are the things they they are facing along the way, and in their living, and day by day living.
Yes.
The thing is, I have to say that for Americans, the thing is a anthem for vindication of young people going to war.
Mm-hmm.
Americans, they are known by being involved by wars and conflicts all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, what we forget about this is who are the victims and the fighters and the are young people, young Americans, and more likely working class young people,
yeah,
immigrants.
I think the expression in English is cannon fodder, we say in Spanish, carne de cañón.
Exactly. That's the term.
Yeah, it's a way of paying homage to their efforts and sacrifices.
So the song is about these people and the pride for these people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's who are the builders of what the United States are.
Brilliant choice.
Yeah. And I have to say, when for me it was revealing what Americans are, but also it showed me how people here in Chile or in other places seeing American people.
Uh-huh.
I have to separate what for me means Americans and what we means America, which is more than USA, but for America means that regime, which we usually say is a democratic dream, but in many ways it's a hardcore authoritarian government.
Yes.
So it's a paradox, but for me it was a way to separate what I feel about people and what I feel about a government or a state.
Okay.
And for me that was the reason why I chose this
song. So by living there you had an unbiased vision of what the USA was. Now you also mentioned the song is about young people, and probably here at the university you are in charge of teaching young people.
Yep.
Who are your students? What do you teach them?
Well, currently I taught in mother education. In teaching programs for mathematics and computer science, and in other times I've been teaching to engineering students, and currently I'm sort of the chair of the teachers program for mathematics and computer science. So that's my crowd for teaching.
Okay. When did you start teaching at this university, you said?
2011, March of that year.
Okay.
That special year.
So you've been here for 7 years.
A little bit more, yeah.
Okay, right. And have you told your students that it is important for them to know English? Are they aware
Well,
of this?
I mean, once in a while in my lectures, because it's mathematics after all. One could say that mathematics is not sort of related to contexts and reality sometimes. It's just an abstraction. But the truth to be told is not the case. It's for me it's sort of language as
it's just another kind of language.
Yeah, it's a kind of
with
language.
Numbers instead of words.
So for me one of the main thing I think math and thinking mathematically contribute to people is a critical thinking. So for me mathematics is a tool for that purpose, but in my own experience, when I learn, it's to me, I'm a little bit shy to say I learn English
You did but learn English.
But I started to get to understand English and text, movies and so forth. The only thing I usually say to the students is there is a all huge world opening to them.
Yes.
If they try to learn English.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what would you say is the best way to learn English?
The one that works
well,
for you?
I mean, I was trying to say to at the beginning, having been practiced speaking English. But what I usually do is, mm-hmm. is and I love to do that, is to watch movies. Mm-hmm. And to keep up news on TV.
Do you tune into a certain channel for news in English?
There is a couple of references I have from my years in the States. Mm-hmm. There's some online TV called Democracy Now. And it's a rich program. A journalist program, mm-hmm. and they are really interesting in the sense that it's not the standard outlet for news, but for the same reason is
independent source.
It's independent, okay. Independent, and it's sort of critical of the usual media outlets.
So it is available online.
It's available online.
And yeah. Can you say the name again?
Democracy Now.
Okay. And maybe it's .org or something.
Yeah, .org. Uh-huh. That's the okay. The one of the references.
I'll go and check it later.
Yeah, and there is another one which is also a nice example of what public television means. Yeah. PBS.
PBS, Public Broadcasting
Public Station. Yeah. Station. They have a pool of programs of many kinds and it's amazing. And, mm-hmm. and once in a while, I keep up some of my favorites. One of them is Frontline, a program about like sort of like Informe Especial.
Oh, I see.
But I think this is the real deal.
Okay, so that's the coverage, like special reports.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I think that on PBS you have this iconic Sesame Street.
Sesame Street.
Yes, I guess.
And for scientists' taste, Nova.
Nova. Like a big star?
Big star, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. And they have there's another interview, sort of, it's not like a late night show, it's an interviewer called Bill Moyers. And it has a nice set of guesses, and it's quite interesting also.
Yeah, the Late Show is quite an institution in the United States. There are as many late shows as people, probably.
Yep.
When you were in the United States, did you have like a typical food that you used to order all the time?
Actually, I mean, I had the chance to interact with people from many different places. Mm-hmm. So what happened really is where I learned to taste different
dishes,
kind of food.
Yes.
Dishes,
cuisines.
One of the favorites I had at the time was Thai food.
Oh, I see.
And of course, there are another places nearby that we usually went with my friends and. But for cooking, I prefer something really simple, but definitely I try to different spices and so forth. Mm-hmm. But
did you try Indian food?
And actually that's exactly what I was trying to recall. I mean, I learned how to make dal, which is sort of the lentil soup. Indians.
They usually have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and once in a while I made my own version of dal. I cook my own version of dal.
Okay, with all of these people from all the nationalities that you mentioned, of course you did communicate in English.
Yep.
Was there any person that you found that their accent was more difficult to follow?
Well. Actually, what I'm thinking about is how hard was everybody else to understand my accent. I mean, I try really hard. I mean, I think I have to go back again to the point that when I step on the airport in the States, I was completely overwhelmed. Everywhere was in English, signs, people talking around me, and I couldn't say a word.
You arrive at which airport?
New Warren, New Jersey.
In New Jersey.
Which is nearby New York City.
Yes.
It took me about 2.5 hours to get to the town I was supposed to be.
And you went there by
train.
By train, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some Chilean friends around town. They wait for me in the station and took me to the housing they have for set for me.
Sympathetic people, yeah. These Chileans,
yeah,
you
yeah,
see.
Yeah. Okay. But in general, I didn't have the chance to meet many Chileans at that time.
That's better, because you were forced to speak in English.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. There were many Hispanic people, mm-hmm. especially from Mexico, mm-hmm. some of them from Spain. But so for me, it was just go for it, meet people from, as you were asking, people coming from different places and different accents.
Sure.
So, but the thing, good thing about it was just, I had to try really hard to get to know people and try to communicate properly.
Yeah. And all the lectures were in English.
Yeah,
and
yeah, exactly.
All the books
yeah.
were in English.
Yeah, yeah.
See.
I mean, I have sort of a shortcut because math text. English is very technical, bounded to the math setting.
Mm-hmm.
So I could read easily math books and go for the lectures.
The universal language, they call
yeah.
it mathematics.
However, I had a little, some few challenge when I was doing my homework.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to write essays?
Yeah. Okay. In math, probably the main thing is problem solving.
Okay.
So we were always handing in homeworks with proofs and calculations in different topics.
When I studied in England, I was given like maybe 3-4 weeks to write a dissertation.
Yeah.
Is it the same with mathematics?
I mean, we have weekly assignments, mm-hmm. we have tests, and we have... presentations, and so I think was, as I was saying, I mean, the first 2 years was writing homeworks, so mm-hmm. so for me was mostly manageable, and at some point in the States I had to go to conference, meeting seminars.
Did you ever have to present in front of an audience?
Yeah. Okay. I have TA, I have teaching assignments.
Uh-huh.
And I was going from grading to work with students and then prepare lectures.
Wow.
And do some classes. And as I was saying, everything was displayed nicely.
Mm-hmm.
People were aware of we were foreigners, and they were ready to... to deal with foreign students.
Mm.
What I mean is, I remember actually something that once in a while I tried to propose to some of colleagues here is, little by little, we're interacting with foreign colleagues
yeah.
coming from different places. But in the States, I recall they have a little booklet with everything displayed. Cultural shock, how things were done there, and how communicate and about this, the politically correct.
It was like a code.
So yeah, they explained everything in some point. Oh. And in the beginning, I was saying, well, this is too much.
Mm.
But
it was necessary.
It was necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you see, we have just listened to our friend Carlos. He has told us everything that he has been able to attain just because he speaks English. So now, this is what we want you to do if you're listening to us. You see, you do learn, and you have to learn a lot of English. It's good for you. Thank you very much, Carlos, for all of
you're welcome.
Your help.
Anytime.
Este fue el programa en inglés Let's Go. Los esperamos en nuestra siguiente edición. See you soon, guys.